Chapter 30. Amos. They moved on foot. The clouds weren't really clouds, and the rain that spat down at them was as much grit and soot as water. The stink of turned earth and rot was all around them, but the cold knocked it back to where it mostly just smelled cold. From the way the trees were all knocked down in the same direction, leaves roughly northeast, roots pointing southwest, he hoped they'd be heading toward less devastated territory. At least until they got near the coast and the flooding. In Baltimore, he figured the folks in the least trouble would be in the failed arcology in the middle of the city. It had been designed to hold a whole ecosystem inside its massive steel and ceramic walls. That it hadn't worked for shit didn't matter as much as the fact that it had been built tall and designed to last. Even if the bottom few floors went underwater, there'd be plenty of people near the top who rode out the worst of it. When Baltimore was a sea, the arcology would still be an island. Plus, the arcology was a shit neighborhood. Eric and his thugs owned at least some of it. And so long as the rest wasn't controlled by one of the major players, Loka Grega or Golden Bough, they could probably take it in a determined push. And even if Eric hadn't made it, there'd be someone there to negotiate with. He just hoped it wasn't Golden Bough. Those guys, in his experience, were fucking assholes. In the meantime, though, there were more immediate problems. Getting there was the goal, and if the idea was to put one foot in front of the other from the pit in Bethlehem to the arcology in Baltimore, there were some holes in the plan. The expanded district put about 3 million people between him and where he was going if he took the straightest path. High-density urban centers seemed like a bad idea. He was hoping that they could stay a little to the west of that and make their way around. He was pretty sure there was a conservancy zone there they could trek along. Not that he'd spent much of his time on Earth camping, but it was what he had to go with. He probably could have done it if he'd been by himself. "How are we holding together, Peaches?" Clarissa nodded. Her prison hospital gown was mud-streaked from shoulder to hem, and her hair hung long and lank. She was just too fucking skinny and pale. It made her look like a ghost. "I'm fine," she said. Which was bullshit, but what was he going to do about it? Stupid to have asked in the first place. So they walked, tried to conserve energy, looked for places that might have fresh water. There were a couple of emergency stations set up by the highway, men and women with medical armbands and generators to run the lights. It never got more than low twilight, even at noon. The clouds kept some of the heat from radiating out into space, but they blocked the sun, too. It felt like early winter, and it should have been summer hot. Every now and then they came across some new ruin, a gutted building, the walls blown off the steel and ceramic girders, a high-speed train on its side like a dead caterpillar. The bodies they found on the roadside looked like they'd gone in the initial blast. Most of the dead-eyed, shell-shocked refugees on the road seemed to be heading for the stations, but Amos tried to steer away from them. For one thing, Peaches was pretty clearly not supposed to be walking free among the law-abiding citizens of Earth, and Amos didn't really feel like having any long conversations about what laws still applied post-apocalypse. And anyway, the stuff they really needed, they couldn't get there. So he kept his eyes open and headed northeast. Still, it was 3 days before he found what he was looking for. The tent was back off the road about 7 meters. It wasn't a real tent so much as a tarp strung over a line between a power station pole and a pale sapling. There was a fire outside it, though, with a man hunched over it feeding twigs and sticks into the smoky flames. An electric motorcycle leaned against the power station pole, its display dark either because it was conserving power or it was dead. Amos walked over, making sure his hands were always where the other guy could see them, and stopped about 4 meters away. Peaches stumbled along at his side. He figured that to anyone who didn't know her or who she was, she probably didn't look real threatening. "Hey there," Amos said. After a long moment, the other guy nodded. "Hey." "Which way are you heading?" Amos asked. "West," the guy said. "Everything's fucked east from here to the coast. Maybe south, too. See if I can get someplace warm." "Yeah, things are shit all over," Amos said, like they were at a coffee kiosk and chatting about the weather. We're heading northeast, Baltimore area. Whatever's left of it, the guy said. No offense, but I think your plan sucks. That's okay. I was thinking the same about yours. The man smiled and didn't go for a gun, if he had one. Not so many guns among the law-abiding Earth populace as there were in the Belt. And if the guy was willing to just shoot the shit this long without anyone escalating or making a play, probably he wasn't a predator. Just another accountant or medical technician, still figuring out how little his degree was worth now. I'd offer to share, Amos said, but we ain't got shit. I'd help, but the tent's only big enough for one. I'm small, Peaches joked, but only sort of. Skinny as she was, she had to be feeling the cold worse, and when he paid attention to it, Amos had to agree it was getting pretty damn brisk. Word of warning? Head north a few clicks before you cut any farther east, the man said. Why? Amos asked. Militia, motherfucker. No trespassing signs and everything. Took a pot shot at me when I went to ask for some water. Kind of asshole that's probably pissing himself with glee that the world went to shit and made his stashed guns and paranoia pay off. Amos felt something in his chest go loose and warm and thought it might have been relief. Good to know. Take care, then. Peace be with you. And also with you, Peaches said. Amos nodded and turned north, trudging back along the road. About half a click later, he stopped, squatting down by a tree, and watched the path they'd just walked down. Peaches huddled beside him, shivering. What are we doing?
Seeing if he followed us, Amos said. You know, in case.
You think he will?
Amos shrugged. Don't know. Thing about civilization, it's what keeps people civil. You get rid of one, you can't count on the other.
She smiled. She really wasn't looking that good. He wondered in passing what he'd do if she died. Figure something else out, probably. You sound like you've done this before, she said.
Shit, I grew up like this. All these folks are just playing catch-up. Thing is, we're humans. We're tribal. More settled things are, the bigger your tribe is. All the people in your gang, or all the people in your country, all the ones on your planet. Then the churn comes, and the tribe gets small again.
He waved a hand at the dark gray landscape. This far out, the trees weren't knocked over, but the weeds and bushes were starting to die from the dark and the cold.
Right now, he said, I figure our tribe at about two. Either she shuddered at the idea, or else the cold was getting to her worse.
He stood up, squinting down the road. The tent guy wasn't coming. That was good.
All right, Peaches, let's get going. We're going to have to head off the road for a bit.
She looked north, up the road, confused.
Where are we going?
East.
You mean where we aren't supposed to go because of some crazy asshole shooting at people?
Yep.
The town had been a decent size last week. Cheap little houses on narrow streets, solar panels on all the roofs sucking in the sunlight, back when there had been some. There were still people here and there. Maybe one house in five or six where the tenants were waiting for help to come to them, or so deep in denial that they thought staying put was an option. Or they'd just decided they'd rather die at home. As rational a decision as any other, things being what they were. They walked on the sidewalks, even though there weren't many cars. A police van skidded by a few blocks ahead once. A sedan with an old woman hunched in the front seat who carefully ignored them as she passed. When the batteries ran dry, there was no power grid to charge them back up, so all the trips were either short or one way. One house had words painted across the front. Everything in this house is the property of the Travis family. Looters will be hunted down and killed. That left him laughing for a couple of blocks. The supermarket at the center of town was dark and stripped down to the shelves, so somebody in the place had understood the gravity of their situation. The compound was on the eastern edge of town. He'd been worried they might walk by it without noticing, but it hugged the road and the signage was clear. Private property, no trespassing, armed security on site. His personal favorite was no relief services. A wide, flat field of a yard led up to a white modular house. The transport parked in front of it looked like something manufactured to imitate military equipment. Amos had lived in an actual military design long enough to recognize the difference. He put Peaches in place at the edge of the property first, then walked the perimeter once, taking it all in. The fence had barbed wire all the way around, but nothing electrified. He was about 50-50 that there was a sniper's nest in the attic, but it might have just been a bird. Easy to forget that even with the massive burden of humanity, there was still wildlife on Earth. The house itself was prefabbed, or else printed in place. Hard to say which. He also saw three tubes coming up out of the ground that looked like they could be ventilation. There were bullet holes in the bark of the trees at the property's edge, and one place where it looked like there was blood on the leaves of the dying bushes. This was where he wanted to be. He started by standing at the edge of the property, cupping his hands around his mouth and shouting, "Hey, in the house! You there?" He waited a long minute, alert for signs of movement. Something behind the curtains of the front window. Nothing in the sniper's nest. So maybe it was just sparrows after all. "Hey, in the house! My name is Amos Burton, and I'm looking to trade." A man's voice came, shrill and angry. "This is private property. That's why I'm out here fucking up my throat instead of ringing the goddamn doorbell. I heard you were prepped for this shit. I got caught with my pants down, looking to trade for guns." There was a long silence. Hopefully the bastard wouldn't just shoot him, but maybe. Life was a risk. "What are you offering?" "Water recycler," Amos shouted. "It's on the back of my rig. I've got one. May need another. Don't think they'll be making more anytime soon." He waited to the count of 10. "I'm going to come up to the house so we can talk. This is private property. Don't cross the line." Amos opened the gate, smiling his biggest, goofiest smile. "It's okay. If I was armed, I wouldn't be training for guns, right? Don't shoot me. I'm just here to talk." He crossed the line, leaving the gate open behind him. He kept his hands in the air, fingers spread. He could see his breath ghosting before him. It really had gotten cold. That wasn't getting better soon. He wondered if he maybe should have said he had a heater. The front door opened and the man came out. He was tall and thin with a stupid, cruel face and a long-barreled assault rifle aimed at the center of Amos's chest. It had to be illegal as shit under UN gun laws. "Hey," he said with a wave. "My name's Amos." "You said. Didn't get yours. Didn't say it." The man walked forward to take cover behind his pretend military transport. "Nice rifle," Amos said, keeping his hands up. "Works, too," the man said. "Strip. Come again?" "You heard me. You want to trade with me? Prove you're not hiding any weapons. Strip." Well, that was unforeseen, but what the hell? Wouldn't be the first guy he'd ever met who got off on feeling powerful. Amos shrugged off his shirt and heeled off his shoes one at a time, then dropped his pants and stepped out of them. The cold air bit his skin. "Okay," Amos said. "Unless I've got a pistol up my ass, we can agree I'm not carrying, yeah?" "Agreed," the man said. "Look, if you're still worried about it, you can get someone to come out. Look through the clothes here. You keep the gun on me, make sure I don't try anything. Don't tell me what to do." That was a good sign. Made it seem more likely that the fellow was on his own here. He glanced up at the attic. If there were a second person, that would be the place to put them. Tiny gray-brown wings fluttered into the attic like the answer to a question. "Where's this cycler?" "About 3 miles down the road," Amos said, pointing with his thumb. "I can have it here in an hour easy." "That's okay," the man said, lifting the rifle to his shoulder and sighting on Amos. The end of the barrel looked as big as a cave. "I can get it myself." Before he could pull the trigger, something moved through the field of his yard like a gust of wind. Only this wind had teeth. The man staggered back, then yawped in confusion and pain. With her chemical hormone blockers having faded in the days since they left the pit, Peaches moved too quickly for Amos's eye to follow. It was like she'd become an angry hummingbird. The man fell to his knees, his assault rifle suddenly gone and one of his fingers broken and bleeding. As he curled to grasp his broken hand, the gun stuttered, opening the man's chest along the side. and then Peaches went still, her prison gown flapping round her in the breeze, blood spattered down the length of her body, the assault rifle held in one hand. Slowly, she sank to the ground. By the time Amos had his pants back on and got over to her, her eyes had rolled back and she was vomiting. He put his shirt over her and waited until the fit passed. It wasn't more than about 5 minutes, and since no one else had come out of the house to investigate or take revenge, Amos was feeling pretty confident the dead man had been a bachelor. She shuddered once, went still, and then the blankness left her eyes. "Hey," she said, "did we win?" "First round," Amos said, nodding to her.
"It like that every time?"
"Yup," she said. "It's really not a great design."
"Useful when it's useful, though."
"Is that... are you okay?"
"Little chilly," Amos said. "Won't kill me. You stay here for a bit, okay? I'm gonna go see what we're looking at inside."
"I'll come with you," she said, trying to sit up. He put a hand on her shoulder. He didn't have to push to keep her down.
"I'll go first. I'd be surprised if it wasn't booby-trapped."
"Okay," she breathed. "I'll just wait here then."
"Good plan."
The next morning, they set off from the little compound at dawn. They both had professional-grade thermal suits, even if his was a little snug and she had to roll up the cuffs. The bunker under the house had supplies enough to last for a year or two. Survival gear, weapons, ammunition, high-calorie rations, a stack of surprisingly boring pornography, and a collection of beautiful hand-carved chess sets. The best find hadn't been in the bunker, though. The garage had a half-dozen unused but well-maintained bicycles, complete with saddlebags. Even with long rifles strapped over their shoulders and their packs weighed down with water and food, they covered the distance from the compound, through the town, and out to the highway in half an hour. By noon, they'd gone farther than 3 days walking would have taken them. It was probably 700 clicks from the pit to Eric's office. They'd been able to cover just under 30 on foot. With the bikes, they'd more than double that. Baltimore was maybe 9 days away, assuming nothing went wrong. Which, given the context, seemed like a lot to ask. But still. They stopped for lunch at noon. It was dim enough it could have been the hours just before dawn. His breath was pluming in the air now, but between the exercise and the thermal suit, Amos didn't feel the cold. Peaches seemed about 1,000 times better, too. She was smiling, and there was also color in her cheeks. They sat on an old bench beside the road, looking east. The view was mud and a scattering of debris. And still on the horizon, the glow of something huge, a city or a fire, lit the clouds from below, gold on gray. So maybe even the end of the world had its moments of beauty. Peaches took a bite of her ration bar and sipped the water from her self-purifying canteen. "Is it bothering you?"
"What?"
"What we did."
"Not sure what that was, Peaches."
She looked at him, her eyes narrowed like she was trying to decide if he was joking. "We invaded a man's home, killed him, and took his stuff. If we hadn't come through, he might have made it. Lived until the sun came back. Survived. He was going to shoot me for no reason except that I had something he wanted. He wouldn't have done that if we hadn't gone there. And we lied to him about wanting to trade."
"Seems like you have a point to make, Peaches."
"If he hadn't been ready to pull the trigger, would you have let it go? Or would we still be here, with these guns and this food?"
"Oh, we were taking a shit. I'm just pointing out both sides of the argument had the same plan."
"Then we're not exactly the good guys, are we?" Amos scowled. It wasn't a question that had even crossed his mind until she said it. It bothered him that it didn't bother him more. He scratched his chest and tried to imagine Holden doing what they'd done. Or Naomi. Or Lydia.
"Yeah," he said. "I should really get back to the ship soon."